Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Our sermon text for today is the epistle lesson appointed for this, the 10th Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from the 10th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 5 and reading through to verse 17. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scriptures say, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Gracious God, we praise your holy name for the gift that you bestowed upon us, the gift of your word and the gift of your faith. And I pray, dear God, that even now as we bow our heads, as we sit to listen to your word, that you speak it into our hearts. Bless the word to abide there in a quiet spot today, removing all the noise of the things that are going on around us from our hearts and allowing that word to rest. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord, friends, in the last several months, I've come to learn a lot about reliance. First off, from the perspective of being a caregiver, and then from the perspective of being one who was cared for. My sister, as many of you know, suffered a severely broken leg and a fractured wrist in a fall, and that happened at the end of June, and I had to go down to Georgia to take care of her. That made me her caregiver, tending to her meals primarily and doing all the other routine chores around our house. Then upon my arrival back here in Canada, the tables completely turned. I had to self-isolate, so for all intents and purposes, I had to be cared for by my wife, and she did a marvelous job. And that care went on for 2 weeks because I couldn't step out of the basement for fear of contaminating anything. Both experiences, I have to say, were humbling. The former was humbling because somebody I loved was reliant upon everything that I did. And the latter was humbling because I had to become reliant upon somebody who loved me. Our sermon text this morning addresses both of these aspects of reliance quite substantially. And given my experience, I'd like to offer some insights as to how you might consider yourselves as being both the recipient of care and the caregiver in your Christian walks. I'll address being cared for first, as perhaps it's more familiar to us. We're cared for quite well. Each one of us, as you know, is impaired when it comes to our relationship with God. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Genesis 8:21 says, the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. Paul spells it out plainly for us in Romans 7:18, where he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. And Job 14:4, we also read, who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. no one but God, that is. But to make matters even worse, so to speak, Satan and this fleshy world in which we live would have us continue on in that impoverishment. They'd have us die in our impairment were it not for God. Listen to what God says on this very subject in Ezekiel 16, verses 4 and 5. As for your birth, on the day where you were born, your umbilical cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths. No, I looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. But God says, when I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Live. God redeemed you by allowing himself to enter into your condition. He himself took on human form to be covered in blood for your sake. And that makes you a recipient of his care in the fullest sense. Now, can you humble yourself to be that recipient? How many times have you heard people say, I don't want to be a burden? How many times have you heard those words spoken to those who are so desperately trying to do what's right and caring for someone's needs? As a recipient of my wife's loving kindness, I found that I ended up neglecting myself so that I wouldn't be a bother to her. She did everything for me, the cooking, the washing up, the cleaning, even the laundry. And after every single moment, she made every single moment that she made contact with anything that I touched or even thought that I might have touched, she had to go and rewash her hands so that she wouldn't risk exposure to any potential COVID-19 germs that I may have brought into the house. Her hands were very sore, and so too was her mind because of her heightened vigilance in trying to be safe for both our sakes. So I couldn't even bring myself to ask her for simple things that I really should have been asking for, simple things like water. It was only after I was suffering from all sorts of muscle cramps and headaches from being dehydrated that I came to the realization that my pride was outstripping my needs. Pride outstripping our needs, the Pharisees. Pride outstripping our needs, those who thought that righteousness came from upholding the law instead of running to God for grace. Understand that Jesus in no way was ever afraid to touch those who were sick, those who were sinful, or even those who were dead. His purpose was and still is to bring about restoration and healing. And he did so at his own expense, gladly for each one of us, imparting his righteousness upon us through his own covenant made with us before God by the shedding of his own blood. And it pleased him to enter into that covenantal agreement. So if it did that for him, it should also please us to receive that covenant for his glory. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me to my glory. It's okay to be like that tax collector before God's throne of mercy. You know, the one that Jesus spoke of in that parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee's heart was full of pride and he boasted of his self-righteousness before God. But that tax collector, Jesus said he was unwilling even to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. What did Jesus say of his contrition? He said, I tell you, this man went to his house justified. Luke 18:14. You'll note that Jesus didn't say this man went to his house feeling justified. He said he was justified. Quite often sinners who have been absolved can't let go of their own feelings of guilt, even when God promises that our transgressions are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Being a recipient of God's grace means humbling ourselves to God's final judgment of our redemptive salvation. It means believing Jesus when he says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. John 8:36. It means humbling ourselves before God to be served. We should also note that God doesn't stop giving when it comes to redemption. He constantly forgives, declaring us holy every time we seek his absolution, and moving beyond forgiveness, he constantly gives too. You see, we're not just recipients of eternal life, we're recipients of relational life. With our redemption comes oneness with God. We're baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. We become partakers of him in that beautiful foretaste of the feast to come, where he says, take, eat, this is my body, take, drink, this is my blood, given and shed for you. We're received into God by God's will, knowing even that Jesus prayed for us as his children and his church, saying in John 17, the glory which you have given me, I've given to them that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. And with that gift of godly oneness comes also that most beautiful gift of godly compassion. The world's held in check by the Ten Commandments. We, on the other hand, are gifted with the realization of good and proper love. The world hears, you shall not murder. We hear, you should fear. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. The world says, you shall not steal. We hear, we should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. Remember what Jesus said, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Matthew 25:35-36. The world, even today, wonders at these things. They wonder at the early church mentioned in the book of Acts. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. The world wonders at that because even today, it can't do those things, and yet we as a church, we do those things. Through our tithes and through our offerings that we bring here to this holy house, we serve Christ. We reach out with his compassion. And we don't just do that because God's blessed us with being stewards of earthly things. We do that because God's blessed us with being stewardship, with having stewardship over godly things. As our sermon text so beautifully alludes, having been made beneficiaries of God's eternal promises, he's also blessed us to become stewards of them before the whole world. We are his church. We are his city on a hill. And all nations will come to us to be blessed because through us shines the one true light that is life. Us and no one else. But how are they to call on him who they have not believed unless they've heard it by the confession of the church? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard unless it has been the proclamation of the church? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Those feet are your feet, my dear friends. You're the church of God, blessed to receive and now blessed to give as well. God in his infinite grace stands behind you in this loving gift of giving. Having saved you, and given you this confession, The world is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, and you will not be put to shame. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. When you make a confession, when you have that salvation, well, the world hears it. It's a confession that is done before the world, and in that God's work is done. That, my dear brothers and sisters, makes you the humble recipients of God's grace and caregivers according to God's grace. Not just now, but until the day where you're called back into eternity, or called into eternity. You know how that is. You shining because of God's glory, and in God's glory for the entire world to see. To that end, I'd like to suggest that we all reflect upon Psalm 18:2, the key verse for this week. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That's a verse to reflect on, isn't it? And we can reflect on that as being recipients of God's grace and as ones who share God's grace. God is our stronghold. He is the one upon whom we can all rely. And I pray that He gives us ample opportunity to be both recipients and caregivers for one another and for our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's pray. Lord God, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we praise your name because you made us recipients of grace. And through the gifts that came with that beautiful blessing, you made us partakers in your ministry, people that become caregivers. We ask that you help us, that you bless us as we carry out this great vocation in the world. We ask that you bless us as we serve your people, now and always. Lord God, the terrible explosion that happened in Beirut, I just ask that you be with the people there, that you use the church in a compassionate way to serve the people there that are suffering so greatly, to accommodate the homeless, to deal with the sorrow and the agony, to minister to those who are so greatly in need. I pray your blessings upon your church that they can do this great work. I pray as well, dear God, for each one of us. I'm grateful that my COVID test came back negative. I'm grateful that you're moving this church forward, that we can meet again. But at the same time, I pray, dear God, that you watch over each one of us, that you keep the fragile from rushing into being here, but instead that they consider their own fragility and their own welfare. I pray that those that haven't been here, that really do need to be here, come. Those that have not graced the doors of this place since Christmas, those that haven't been able to be here as well because of obligations, I pray that the online services that we do here at Grace continue and reach out to thousands, not just the group that we've already established, but to thousands. Lord God, bless us. Bless us with a ministry that indeed shares your mercy. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. I should mention one more time that the key verse is certainly available for you on our website. If you're just listening to this, or if you're watching just this portion of the video and you haven't gone to the website, I'd urge you to do so. There's printable bulletins. There's also a downloadable desktop wallpaper with the key verse on it. Explore the page. There's also our COVID-19 policies on that webpage as well. So you might want to review that in advance of coming to church. God bless you all, and keep you safe until we see each other again. In Jesus' name, amen.